Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Laura Camrath and Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Hey, Brian, what's going on?
Laura, good late afternoon.
Yes, good late afternoon. It's a little late today. I guess we're around 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
I don't know if people are heading home, but we've got some important stuff to talk about today.
We sure do. This is Big Ideas, Small Business.
Big Ideas, Small Business. Yes.
Yeah, so we're here live at Rice University. Laura Camrath, of course, CEO of Zebra Marketing Solutions, and myself, Brian Gendron, CEO and president of NoxServe IT Solutions.
Yeah.
So, let's drop some knowledge on them. So what are we talking about today?
So, I want to talk about the sales pipeline, and I like to think of it as a pipeline. I don't know if you can see kind of behind us here. I've sort of drawn one out as a pipeline. But you know what happens when you don't, if you're running water through your pipes in your house, and you turn the faucet off, what happens? The water stops flowing, obviously.
Right.
The only reason that water's flowing through your house is because there's pressure on it coming from somewhere.
Good point.
So
I think I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. Right. I mean, if the water's flowing through the house, and there's pressure on it, that pressure's coming from somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where it is in Houston. But if somehow that pressure were to stop, that water would quit flowing through your house. And then maybe you'd have just like a little trickle coming out, but it would just probably eventually dry up.
That's right. And I think your point is really that there's got to be the business, if you're a sole proprietor, then that's you, and you have to put the pressure on yourself. Or if you have a sales team, you got to put on your sales team to continue to keep the pressure on getting new leads, turning those leads into customers, and those customers into bigger customers and more customers.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And, I think of it in a digital marketing sense and a general business strategy sense as, starting with your plan and your structure and knowing what you're going to offer. So Brian and I have talked before about the marketing and sales process as being about building relationships. And when you think of relationships, like I like to just think of it in terms of going on a date, and we've used that. What do you call it?
You used the analogy.
Analogy, sorry. We've used that analogy before of dating and marketing and sales process. But, it's true. What you're doing with your customers and your prospects is you're building a normal human relationship with them, just like you would build a normal human relationship with somebody you might date. So, a normal human relationship would start with, maybe can I buy you a drink? It doesn't start with, oh, hey, can I buy you a drink? And by the way, when do you want to get married and how many kids do you want to have? Right. At that point it becomes creepy. So thinking about like, how do you build your offers in a way that can promote that normal human relationship? And, in the marketing sense, we would start with free offers, like we call them lead magnets, maybe a free ebook, something that solves a problem quickly and easily for your customer, makes them say, oh, I want that problem solved. Let me get this free information. And you can start with a variety of free information, and that would be the beginning of the pipeline. If you're starting your pipeline with leads, the flow into your pipeline has to start with something. So, starting with just getting people interested, getting people to say, oh, hi, how you doing? We talked about previously the tripwire, and the tripwire is there to make a very small, easy to accept offer that changes the relationship with that lead and makes them become a customer. So, you know, maybe it's a $7, basically you chip off something from your main offer and you offer it for some very low price. And that lets people say, oh yeah, let me get that. And that changes the relationship.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the one thing that you're kind of going for in the tripwire for me is, you know, there's a certain amount of often, if, like, I'm a business to business sales. Mm-hmm. I think you are too, for the most part. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have to get your initial customer paperwork in, you know, to get them into your accounting system. And that whatever that minimum amount of effort may be to get them started increases the likelihood that they're going to become a profitable customer. Because what you're talking about, basically, that's not a profitable transaction for anybody.
Yeah.
At $7, but that is enough to get them into the pipeline where you can grow that client into a profitable client.
Yeah. So somebody who has bought your very small offer is now more willing and open to hearing you for your bigger offers. So, and of course, not everybody who buys a tripwire is going to become a bigger customer. You know, someone might just take that small offer and you might not hear from them again.
Right.
But the idea is that you think of your marketing and your pipeline in terms of how are you moving people through it. And, you know, some of that is the structure of your offers. So, you know, are you offering things first a small thing and then a little bit bigger thing and then a little bit bigger thing so that you're developing that trust? Mm-hmm. And then also, what activities are you doing along the way to promote those things? So, like, you know, with leads, and when you're in the lead stage, a lot of times you're offering something free. And so what are those free things that you're going to offer? It might be webinars, it might be events, it might be cold calling, it might be, what else we got? I guess we've got Facebook ads and online ads.
Sure, the entire marketing mix. Yeah, you said something so important back there, is that you're growing the trust while basically demonstrating your value.
Yeah.
And only then can you really move them through the pipeline as a customer that you want to grow. Mm-hmm. And you may just sometimes you get to the point where, you know, the value that you bring, they can't justify the cost that they're spending with you, and that's probably not a customer that's going to be profitable for you in the long run.
Yeah.
So your pipeline, it's okay sometimes to have some leakage in the pipeline if it's mm-hmm. for good business reasons.
Yeah. I mean, like, for example, if I build for my customers what I call a lead capture and nurture system, or people often call it a sales funnel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, say we offered someone a free report that they opted in for from a Facebook ad, and they said, yes, I want your free information. This looks awesome. Let me get it. And you emailed it to them and they didn't download it, and maybe then they get a reminder and they still don't download it, and maybe they get a third reminder. Well, at that point, it looks like they just aren't really engaged. Like, they're not really interested. They're not taking the actions that you want them to take, that you're asking them to take. And at that point, I would remove them from that person, you know, from my customer's list.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's like, you want the people that are engaged. Like, you want to keep the people engaged that are already engaged, and you want to move them along and continue to engage them and engage them more. So in that train of thought, I like to I'd like to highlight the three ways that you can get more business. Mm-hmm. And the three ways you can get more business, a lot of people that I talk to, they think of, you know, getting more business is, I need to get more leads. I just need to get more leads so I can get more customers. And yes, probably if you get more leads, there's a good chance you might get more customers then.
That's the numbers, kind of just pure numbers game.
Yeah, that's a numbers game. It's just like, okay, well, if I double my number of leads, then I'm going to have more customers. Mm-hmm. But then people think, well, how do I double the number of leads? Well, then I'm going to have to spend more money, or I'm going to have to spend more time in order to do that. And right. So then now you're just spending more money, spending more to make more. And in reality, there's actually two more ways that are often overlooked that you can get more business.
And easier, by the way.
And yeah. easier. Right. So the quickest way to get more business, or we call it closest to the cash, is to go back to people you already know, because those are warm leads, or they may already be customers. They already trust you. They already know you. They already have a relationship with you. You don't have to climb that ladder. And so if you go back to those people and ask for a referral or offer them something more, you can actually get more business, make more money without having to go out and spend more money to get more leads, because the people that you have already are also a source of more business.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird thing. You know, I ran sales teams in my career, and it's, you know, hey, look, you've got this great book of business. Like, let's take it to the next level. Let's go out and get some, ask for referrals. Mm-hmm. And there's just some reason there's some apprehension around doing that exercise. I'm like, that's the easiest way to do this. And it should be, so figure out a way to get yourself comfortable. You know, you have that relationship, to your point.
Yeah.
So you know how these people work, and bring it up at the opportune time. And you can even put something in it for them. You know, you can give them a certain amount off their bill, or mm-hmm. or offer them some sort of reward or incentive if they can if they can take that. But, you know, this should be mm-hmm. easy for you. Don't make this more difficult. Get out of your own head.
Yeah, I have an example I like to give when I'm speaking. And it's about this story. One time I was heading over to my mom's house. My mom and I were in the kitchen. My mom's like, you know, I've got all these, she's a master gardener. She's a gardener, loves gardening. She's like, you know, I've got these beautiful tomato plants out back, but the tomatoes are green. So, you know, I think tomorrow I'm just going to rip them all out and plant some new tomato plants. And, you know, I mean, obviously that doesn't make any sense, right? Like, nobody's going to rip out their tomato plants because the tomatoes are still green.
Right.
They just need to ripen up a little bit. They just need to pour some water on them, just, you know, let them grow a little. And that's like the analogy I like to use with my, you know, with a lot of businesses, is they think like, oh, you know, what, you know, I just need to get more leads. Like, these leads aren't buying right now. I just need more.
Right.
And the reality is the ones that you have are probably already pretty good. And
nurture
it's good
those.
To start there.
Huh? Nurture those tomatoes.
Yeah, nurture those tomatoes.
So what's the third way?
So the third way is, so let's see, we have get more customers is the first way to get more business. Get them to come back more often. And the third way is get them to spend more while they're there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
that might be, you know, changing your product offering, adding add-ons to your products.
The infamous, do you want fries with that?
Of course. Yeah. So you've got to work through some of that, especially as you start growing more and more clientele. Well, what else can you bring to them? What are some complimentary services that you can bring that can bring them additional value? And don't forget mm-hmm. to ask them in that process, you know, what else can I be doing for you? Or keep your antennas up and look for more opportunities. Oh, my customer's spending that over there. Well, why not collapse your vendors
and spend it with them? I mean, what if you're looking at your customers, like say you sell, say you're a coffee filter company. You just sell coffee filters. And you're like, we're the best coffee filter company in the world. We sell coffee filters. That's all we sell. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, okay, what else are your customers buying? Oh, coffee pots, you know, but we're not a coffee pot company.
Right.
Well, why not? You know, let's see. That's just right. Look around and see, well, what else does my customer need to buy to be complete? And is that something that I might also be able to offer?
That's right. Yeah. And don't feel guilty about that work. It's actually really beneficial to the client to collapse down the amount of vendors that they work with. It really is. It's a good benefit and value to the client.
Yeah. And plus, you know, I mean, a coffee pot is worth a whole lot more money than a coffee filter. So, you know, you might increase your margins quite a bit there.
That's right. And focus on those margins. And, of course, when you have them as an existing client, you know, they don't become as cost sensitive. You don't have to offer the new customer discounts and those mm-hmm. things. You've already built the value and the trust.
Yeah.
You know, one other thing I just wanted to touch on, and I have to as a former sales manager, is the pipeline management. So whether you're holding yourself accountable, or you're holding as a solopreneur, or you're holding a sales team accountable, whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
I like to reverse engineer the numbers. So, you know, do you have, regarding the pipeline, do you have a sales goal, whether that's monthly, quarterly, annually, and weekly? You know, you should have some of those, all of those in mind. And if you're not hitting that goal, knocking out of the park, well, then you have to figure out, are you not having enough, maybe it's customer meetings or appointments to reach that goal? And if you're not having enough appointments, you know, all the activity that we're talking about, whether it's the tripwires or the marketing events, are you doing enough to generate those meetings? And so, you know, if you either hold yourself or hold somebody that you're, that reports to you accountable to that and do that on a regular basis. So everybody rolls their eyes when they have sales meetings. But again, if you're a one-man shop, you need to have sales meetings with yourself. You are both the manager and the employee. It's something very important to think about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's easy when you are the manager to get up, you know, caught up in all the things that you've got to do, all the people you've got to follow up with, all the projects you've got to keep track of, all the things. And, you know, it is important to take that time for planning and, you know, look at your numbers and look at your pipeline. Because, again, you know, if you're thinking of the pipeline in terms of, you know, like the water pipes in your house and the pressure is coming from somewhere, if that pressure dries up, guess what's not coming out of your faucet?
Sales. That's not how you run a profitable business.
Exactly.
So pay attention to your numbers, pay attention to your pipeline, pay attention to the pressure that you put into that pipeline.
Yeah, and just like keep track of how many calls you're making, how many, you know, you can look at your, you know, your, out of how many calls did you make, did that turn into a customer? Like, you know, how many...
Data.
Like, and just,
all your data
and if you can figure that out, then you kind of know, well, how many calls do I have to make every day or every week so that I can get, you know, achieve those goals.
That's right. So. Well, I wanted to move into some Tech for Granted, if that sounds okay.
Sounds like a plan.
And now, Tech for Granted, a moment of appreciation for technology in business.
So today I want to talk about Slack. I know we were together at an event this past week at the Canon in Houston, pretty nice event.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you're on their Slack page. And I'm like, oh, wow, Slack page.
Wow.
And I, you know, I've used them a little bit collaboratively with some things I've been doing, you know, especially I've used it when it's outside of my company, but there's a lot of companies using this today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell me a little bit about your experience with Slack and.
I've got two Slack groups that I belong to, or organizations, and one is Generation Tech, and actually set that up.
That's right.
And the other is a startup warehouse called the Canon, and they are, you know, as for startups, it's kind of a co-working space. And so they have a lot of different entrepreneurs and lots of different companies, you know, people who are starting various companies, and they kind of work there in that same space. And they also have some resources that are offered, and they do some events, and, you know, they have like hot dogs sometimes and this and that going on. And so they use Slack kind of as a, it's kind of a communication tool. So you can build you know, Slack pages for your organization. And you could have, like, I think they have a general Slack page, and you can tune into that. Or they have, you can have, you
channels
for, like, specific groups. So if, say, Brian and I were starting a company with three other entrepreneurs, and we wanted to have our own channel, you know, we could have a channel in there where you can check back and see, okay, what's going on today.
Right.
And, you know, the nice thing about the Slack page at the Canon is I can kind of be sitting in my office and I can check the Slack and see, like, oh, they've got hot dogs in the kitchen. Oh, this is going on today. And this is, somebody's asking if anyone knows a good web designer. And, oh, hey, that's me.
Right.
You
that's
know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a cool tool for staying in touch with people.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and collaborating and keeping it out of email. You know, a lot of people talk about Slack being sort of the email killer. Of course, email is not going away anytime soon. But certainly I spend a lot of time trying to clean up my inbox, reduce the noise. And this is one way that you can kind of check on your time and then tune it to provide, you know, text message updates or things that are important to you on the channels that matter.
Yeah, the other cool thing about Slack is it actually has apps that can integrate with it.
A lot of apps, most apps.
And there's like apps that do all kinds of stuff, including, you know, say you were trying to project manage your new startup company.
Right.
You can install a project management app that lets you, you know, keep track of when, you know, things are due or like how much progress has been made on X, Y, and Z, you know, just stuff like that. But there's lots of different apps that, you know, if you're trying to collaborate on anything, I think Slack's really the collaboration.
It's a platform ultimately. And that's why businesses and groups gravitate towards this because really as a platform, with these apps and integrations, there's endless what you can do with this tool, and teams that are a size of 2 to 2,000, you know, and beyond that even. Mm-hmm. So, a good place to start in a small organization, you know, especially if you haven't yet really defined all of your processes, and it's a nice place to get everything in one spot and keep everybody moving in the same direction.
Yeah.
So.
That's pretty cool.
Very good. So that is Slack.
It's time for Thought Leadership, examining the informed opinion of field experts.
So I wanted to, this one is near and dear to my heart, Laura. I want to talk a little bit of thought leadership. And though a lot of times we bring specific books to the forefront, I'm not going to do that today. But I am going to bring a specific individual. His name is Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V. So you can find all of his stuff, hashtag Gary V-E-E. And Laura has not heard of him. I'm going to try to turn her on to him. This is a very influential person in my career. Got me started and passionate about finding your passion and being present in the digital space. So whether it's on Facebook Live or Instagram or honestly, Gary will tell you he doesn't care. He trades in attention. So name the latest app wherever people are looking, or even if it's not an app, maybe he talks a lot about podcasting, about how audio is really the next big wave because it is that passive media and technologies like, you know, Amazon Echo or Google Home are growing rapidly. Do you have these devices in your home yet?
I do not.
Spy devices, yes. Well, I've got the Amazon Echo, and it's a little scary, but certainly can really help be more convenient.
I've seen them in other people's friends' houses that, you know, they're like Alexa.
Yeah, Alexa.
Alexa, play my favorite song. Like
somewhere in Rice University, a favorite song just came on because she said that. But Gary's great. If you have not, he's very, very high energy. He was a keynote speaker at an event that I went to that inspired me ultimately to start my business. I talked to you guys about that. He's got New York Times bestsellers on the market. The last one was Ask Gary V, which is sort of a collection of his show that he hosts or used to host. He currently one of the latest projects he did was really interesting. He was on, it's an Apple iTunes exclusive show. Basically, people go on an escalator and pitch their apps, just like Shark Tank, but it's specifically to apps, and it's. He's on there with like Jessica Alba, Will.i.am, Gwyneth Paltrow.
An escalator?
Yeah, they have. That's basically
like you get how much time it takes you to go from like one side to the other side of the escalator.
Exactly, as opposed to the elevator pitch, it's an escalator pitch. but anyway, so he's done stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's in with Tony Robbins. He was on a tour with them, so he's definitely up and coming. Made his money or made his start on YouTube when YouTube first came out on a program he called Wine Library TV to turn his dad's liquor store in New Jersey from a $2 million operation to a $60 million operation.
I need to go check out that liquor store.
You need to check out Gary Vee is what you need to do. So again, there's not a specific book or anything, but certainly check his stuff out online. I guarantee you'll get addicted to it. I actually had to stop for a little bit. I'm like, that's a little much, but I always go back to it. He's got podcasts, and there's a lot of different ways to consume his stuff. Check it out. Again, it's hashtag Gary Vee, GaryVee. So
all right.
I hope I turned Laura on to something new.
I'm going to check it out.
And y'all too. All right, well, it's getting late. It's getting dark outside already.
Ah, it's that daylight saving stuff going on.
I know it.
It's like it gets dark early now.
I know it. I'm late for an appointment, but that's okay. I'm happy to do it. Any other closing thoughts?
But hey, we're here with our Big Ideas Small Business fans.
That's it.
That's about the best place that we could ever be.
And with Laura and y'all, our fans. So anyway, this has been fun.
Big ideas, small business.
Go out and close some business.
All right, get some sales, guys.
All right,
bye.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas, Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.